We're going to be spending some time looking at Luke chapter 8, particularly verses 4 through 8. Before we do that, let's just open in prayer for God to illuminate His Word to us. You, God, have gifted us with this place to worship in freedom. Thank you for this. And thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to reflect on what you would have us hear and how it might impact our lives today and tomorrow. Inspire us with your presence. Embrace us with your hospitality. Equip us to be vessels of your grace. In Christ we pray this. Amen. The beginning of this chapter, which is titled The Parable of the Sower, it begins with stating, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, which was a radical gospel. So radical, in fact, that Luke, the author in Luke, makes specific mention in these next few verses that the 12 were with him, and also some women who were cured from evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. And these women were helping support them out of their own means. What an incredible thing was going on in that moment as Jesus was proclaiming the gospel from town to town, village to village, and the incredible support that he was receiving in that gospel proclamation. And as a result, a large crowd shows up and says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told a parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord. Over the last year, this particular text and other gospel texts in Matthew and Mark of the sower have been showing up in my life quite a bit lately. And I've been taught that whenever a text is showing up for you like this, is being repeated to you, entering your life at multiple times, you need to pay attention to it. It's here that we are reminded that God's wanting to share something with us. We need to be alert and to pay attention to what God is having us to know, what he wants to say to us. Even at Synod last year, Zachary King, the General Secretary of the CRCNA, the Christian Reformed Church in North America, in his address to the delegates of Synod, used seed planting language about the future of the church. Let me begin by stating, I am not a farmer. My life has often consisted of many encounters and friendships with excellent people who work the land. But again, let me be clear, I am not one of them. I am not. And in my attempts to try to understand that world, it's made me realize that these workers of the land are gifted, patient individuals who experience many trials and celebrations at their work. So I want to begin by saying thank you to all the farmers in the room this morning for being attentive to your craft and honoring us with the gifts of the land that helps sustain us every day. Thank you. And when I read today's text, I thought about those early farmers, those who were not blessed with today's equipment to efficiently plant seeds and retrieve the harvest that the season produced. I also thought about the church a lot. The church here, our church here in Leduc, but also the Kingdom Church. Jesus, in his parable, was speaking to a people who understood the planting context in that moment. Where a farmer would, by hand, he'd have a satchel around his shoulder, and by hand he would take the seed and scatter it. That was the practice of the day. That's the way they planted seed. And the word I want us to pay attention to is scatter. Scattering the seeds in the text. The seeds over the land, mostly in the good soil, but oftentimes, even in the seemingly good soil, the seed may land on a rocky area, often covered by a thin layer of soil. Or the seed will land on the walkways where it was trampled down and not given an opportunity to achieve its purpose. But when it landed on the good soil, when it landed in that sweet spot, when the seed found it, and as it's also stated in Matthew and Mark, the versions of this parable, the harvested crop was many, many times more than we could ever imagine. And Jesus is telling the gathered group of this parable, the disciples wondered, why, Jesus, do you speak in these parables and tell us what that parable means? To which Jesus says further in the text, to you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it's given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. In other words, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works, or they were learning how it works. But there are others that need stories, illustrations, to help them. But even sometimes, the stories weren't enough. Some people just wouldn't get it. Their eyes are open, but they don't see a thing. Their ears are open, but they don't hear a thing. And then Jesus shares these insights. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest should they believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And those have no root who believe for a while and in a time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they've heard, go out and are choked by cares, by riches, the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That word's showing up for us a lot this morning, isn't it? Patience. Early readers of this text would have understood that the hand-thrown seed distribution was a normal process for the day. In fact, that the seeds would fall in places where little growth could be achieved, that it was in fact well known. And the early readers would have understood, or at least assumed, that the sower was Jesus. Commentators today, theologians will say that the sower is in fact those who share the gospel. And there is a sense that when you take a deeper dive into this incredible text, that those who sow the seeds are like people like each one of us. Christians who are called to be ambassadors of the gospel and light bearers of Jesus Christ in the world. Friends, we are the sowers. Now, Jesus' parables, as with many of his parables, were not always clear, and that left many wondering of the meaning of them. Within them are truths that require often a deeper, maybe probing questions to unpack it, which the disciples do ask, and some of us do ask as well. And upon hearing Jesus answer these, it helps them and it helps us gain understanding why this message is so important for the church then and the church today. Sometimes it requires the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us in time. Sometimes it's in God's timing. And in that God's timing, we rely on the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. And it's here in that Holy Spirit space that I'd like us to spend a little bit of time this morning to consider. Some of you know my wife, Monique. She and I, we had an opportunity to visit Christian missionaries in Europe last May. And it was our privilege to be part of a group that walked alongside 29 young people, 29 young adults, 29 emerging adults who were part of a the group of us visited various parts of Europe to see and hear what God was up to. There were four groups. One went to Portugal. One went to Hungary. One went to Apeldoorn in the Netherlands. And the last group went to Rotterdam, also in the Netherlands. And each group had, in its unique context, that we found that shone the light of God, what he was doing in the world. It was very interesting and very unique. But it was our time, Monique and I, and group of young adults in Rotterdam, that God challenged us to consider perhaps our conventional church models need to be inspired by the work God is doing in unconventional spaces. Places that seem unworkable. In places that truly model for us the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed to the church in Ephesus, that God can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. It was that kind of trip. Often we would hear refrains like, "To God be the glory in this moment," because we're seeing something incredible happening. Our team in Rotterdam met up with a missionary who was now stationed there because the place that he was church planting was no longer safe for him and his family. He was originally doing ministry in a country that was almost entirely made up of people who were anti-Christian. The fear of his own life and his family's existence was a daily concern. After nearly a decade of sharing the gospel and planting a few small churches in that country, the time came for them to leave. Even then, there were moments that he shared of these seed scattering moments. But it felt like there was little fruit coming from these plantings. Much more can be done, but now that he was deported, he couldn't go back. What could he do? Ending up in Rotterdam meant he and his family were waiting for what was next for them. Four young children, and I see lots of young children here today. Could you imagine being in that space as a young family, four young children, getting pulled out and then waiting patiently for God's call for a next step? They prayed. The young children had to adjust to a new life in a new country. How difficult that would have been. So they waited and prayed. And it was during that time of discernment that he was invited to work for a ministry called Jesus.net. And it was an organization that creates online opportunities for those around the world to learn more about the radical life of Jesus Christ. It was here that this man could use his experience and knowledge of that country he just left, that country that he had ministered in, to communicate with people from there who desire to learn more about this Jesus Christ. He began his work there in September 2023, where at that time the ministry would receive about 100 inquiries a month from that country that he was serving in. He told us now, this was a year ago, last May, they were getting hundreds of requests a day from people located deep within that anti-Christian country. A place that if you converted to Christianity, your family would disown you and want you dead. We heard a story of a young girl who converted and now is being hunted by her brothers to take her life. Could you imagine? That church in Rotterdam became a safe haven for them. And when this man spoke to the people who had requested information through this online ministry, he shared something quite remarkable with us. When he spoke to them, about a third of them would say a similar story. They had a dream. They saw Jesus Christ. They saw a white light and wanted to learn more about who this Jesus was. Could you imagine? Now, we're not sure where the seeds were being sown, but many of them were taking root in places we did not foresee. You know what? This didn't make any sense to us when we heard this. The last day in Rotterdam, we met up with a man whose life was transformed by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. This man whose life was almost taken away by the beast that is cancer is now working in a church as a laborer. He is not trained theologically in any way, but he's gifted with these gifts and the trades and is convinced that God is working even through him. Their little congregation in Rotterdam was made up of people who came from that anti-Christian country, who had converted to Christianity, and in its work was offering refuge and safety for those who needed help. We found out that this little congregation was also sending out, unbelievably, thousands of Bibles around the world, 1,000 Bibles a year, to parts of the world that did not have access to them otherwise. This detail became like a beacon for God's work for Monique and I, as we know someone who received their first Bible living in an anti-Christian country through the black market, and through that moment, discovered Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? This was a to God be the glory moment for us. It brought it home for us. God is working through the inefficient scattering of seeds. See, we are to be sowers of the hope-filled gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not simply a call to do more programs, but a robust call to scatter the seeds inefficiently. I know you farmers are looking at me right now and just say, no, 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 no. But we are called to scatter them inefficiently in the world because we don't know where they're going to land. But we pray that God will nurture them. We may not know where they land, but that's the point. The missionary simply scattered the seeds. We too are simply called to scatter the seeds. And you may ask, where, when, and how do I do this? Friends, it's in the everyday moments of life. By reflecting the posture, the grace, the mercy, and love of our Savior Jesus Christ because of what he's done for us. We just experienced the empty tomb moment again not too long ago. And it's in that resurrection hope that we proclaim the gospel message and scatter those seeds wherever we may be by taking the message of Jesus Christ seriously and making it a core value of who we are, by speaking Christ's hope in a world that seems devoid of it, praying for our neighbors, displaying hospitality even when it pains us to do so. The Holy Spirit shows up in amazing ways. Our hope rests in the grace-filled work of the nurturer who tends and brings up the plant, the harvest. And we, the church, can then be a support to the lives of the hearers of the gospel by being a ministry of presence, walking with and displaying the hope of the empty tomb, to care for each other. Our call as sowers of the gospel seed are what we are faithfully called to live out in the everyday. It's in response to the glorious splendor of new life that's offered by the grace-filled Savior that we eagerly proclaim the gospel hope in the everyday. And it's truly part of, I think, what we're called to do here in Ebenezer. To make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To make room for the marginalized. You know, the ones that perhaps feel like they're on the outside. We don't have to go too far in Scripture to find those kind of moments showing up for us. Like in Acts chapter 6, when the Greek-speaking widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of bread. They said, something's got to change, my friends. And we've got other marginalized people in our world. We need to care for them. We need to reach out to them. We need to welcome the lost who are struggling to find a place of belonging. If there's one thing I'm hearing in our churches, particularly in youth ministry and young adult ministry, it's this idea that we need to have a place that we can belong, a place that we can call home, a place that loves us unconditionally, a place to belong. And I'm hearing young people talk about this at length because they're desiring community. They're hungry for the gospel. They need to hear the truth. And they need to have people walk with them that genuinely love them and care for them. To invite the ones who have no one. Last week I was in Baltimore and we had a panel of young people that were talking about their experience in the church. And we had a wide variety of people, everywhere from a young person who was adopted to people who had been left the church and come back. And we asked the question, what's one piece of advice that you give to us church leaders? What's one thing you want us to know? What's one thing you want us to pay attention to? And there was one young lady that said this, and I keep thinking about this. Can you pay attention to the one, she says, who leaves church really fast after the service? Maybe there's something going on in their lives that we need to be aware of, to care for, to love. Maybe they're running from something, or maybe they're running to something. But can we pay attention to those who leave early? And I thought, boy, that makes sense to me. We need to pray for the hurting, the ones in our communities that are dealing with pain and loss. Can we pray for them? Can we feed the hungry? There's many in our streets that need food. Can we feed the hungry? To be faithful seed sowers and to offer faithful obedience and be led to where God, our God, directs our paths. We came home from that trip delighted to see and hear of God's work in the world. Sometimes we don't get to see that in our places that we call home. And quite frankly, we were privileged to be able to go. Not everybody has that privilege. But I believe God placed in our hearts this message to share with you so that you could too know that God is doing things incredibly in this world, immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. And we need to continue to be aware of these things. We can't lose sight of that, even when our contexts, it can be tough. Our families, we're going through stuff, right? Maybe even our church family, we've been going through some stuff. Sometimes we need to be realigned to see where God is working so that we can then offer hope, gospel hope, when sometimes we don't see it ourselves. God is at work, my friends. That much is clear. And I pray that our hope, being rooted deeply in the good soil, will bear much fruit, great fruit, revealing that the knowledge of the resurrection truth and the empty tomb hope for the church is not limited to only our imaginations, but experienced by the glorious redemptive heart of Jesus Christ. That's for all the generations in the past, the present, and the future. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this incredible parable. And at times it's really easy to sink our teeth into it and say, oh yeah, I can see this and I can see this. And Jesus reveals the meaning behind it for us so very clearly. But sometimes it's hard to see how it's actually being lived out. Lord, thank you for the privilege of seeing your word lived out in ways that might be a little bit different than we had imagined them to be. And so, Lord, as we think about our time here on this earth, right here in Leduc, maybe some of us live a little bit further out of the city limits. Maybe we have neighbors that we haven't talked to for a while. Maybe there's moments of reconciliation that we're still looking to lean into. How do we do this, Lord? May the empty tomb hope of the plants, the seed planting picture, give us a sense of peace and a sense of possibility, Lord, that you can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine through the good work and the grace and the love of you for us. And it's in that posture, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray this all together. And all God's people said together, amen.